Accession number 27096, Reel 3.
Cliff Hoare, Reel 3. So, did you do any hand-to-hand fighting?
No. No. Never got round to that, I guess.
Because some of the batteries got some of the parachutists as they came down, didn't they?
The batteries, yes. Yeah. I mean, they were terrible because they once they run out of ammunition and they'd had their rifles, which they would have defended themselves with, but they'd been taken away to go to other things, and the Germans just come in and shot them. Mm-hmm.
So you stayed near the HQ, did you, all the time?
Well, I was there until we thought that, well, we more or less... We weren't isolated, but the Welsh regiment came in and got us out from there because they, you know, we know the way that everything was going that we would be surrendered, like, you know.
Yeah. So after the initial parachutists came in, and how long did it take you to deal with them? Was that to you? We're talking about. Hours,
well, that was in the morning, I think. I don't think it's any. I don't think can't remember much in the afternoon. And
Did any other of the staff at HQ injured, wounded?
No.
No.
No, but I mean there was the only thing I can remember up there after the drop that there was a territorial. Battalion had come from Greece, and they'd lost quite a. They were infantry, you know, young boys, and a lot of them had been killed taken prisoner in Greece. And they came there, they tried to reform up there, like. And I know they were after they got themselves sorted out, they went up towards Malmö, and I think most of them got killed up there, like, you know.
So, in the afternoon, you didn't do any fighting?
No, I mean, you're just on standby all the time, and I mean, and then you sort of try if there's any food going. I mean, you just sort of try to catch them on your something to eat, as that it was, but I mean, there's no quiet moments there, it's all the time, like, you had to be on the alert.
Yes, yeah, and that night and then, passed peacefully, didn't
you? Yeah. Yeah, and that's and then we moved, like you say, the Welsh regiment come as and we had to cut across the and we finished up down at Souda Bay.
Right, so the Welsh regiment helped you move.
We got out of it, like, you know, the trouble is nobody knew where the Germans were because they were all in pockets all over the place, like, you see. And at Souda Bay, then penetrated that far, so where you knew you were in the clear there. And in the evening, we had two battalions of commandos that landed, and that
British commandos.
Yeah, British commandos. That's right. Yeah.
And then, where did you set up in Souda Bay? You set up the HQ there, did you? Or?
No. I mean, it was all gone then. And I didn't see any Freiburg or anything like that after that.
Were you expecting to be evacuated or?
No, we stopped there, and at one time, Bill Fewins, like, said to us, because we'd run out of rations and all that sort of thing by then, and he said, well, anybody want to volunteer? He said, you know, we'll take the truck up the main road. The main road was right from Souda Bay to Kania. That I never knew the name of that, but as far as in wartime, you got your own. They give you the maps are all done in English. So that road was 42nd Street. So if you were directed to 42nd Street, you know where that was. And another road the other way was to Brook Avenue. That's all that, you see. So anyway, we had to get... We knew where the food depot was in Kania, and we've been told that, you know, we thought that some of the Germans had penetrated into the town, like. But so I... Bill, Bill Fewins, myself, Ernie as the driver. We decided, like, we'd try to get into, you know, chance our luck and get into the town. So I, probably, I don't know, I was being a bit green. I sat on they had these great big mud guards on these lorries in those days, like, you know, weren't they, like it is today. And I sprawled out on this big mud guard, and I was guiding, I mean, this was getting dark, so we thought we were doing it in the dark in the night time. And I was guiding them around these potholes and everything up the road. And I didn't really, I never even thought of it. But I mean, I could, if there was an ambush, if we had hit a mine or I'd been ambushed, I mean, I would have stood that sort of chance. But I didn't think of that. And we got up to this store, and there was a, you know, we got challenged up there by, and it was kind of our blokes were still in the store. I mean, they hadn't had any orders to move. And of course, anyway, it was a waste of time. We got out there. Well, there was nothing there. Really? We put in what we found there, and we found some jars of rum, and we had some cases of these great big tins of Ovaltine and all that for the hospitals and all that. Well, that wasn't any good to us, like. And then we come back. We took these tracks back with us and got back safely. And like I said, then there was these at the night time there. There was these two battalions of commandos coming ashore, like.
So you drove up and you drove back again,
yeah,
on this road from 42nd Street. Mm. And did you see the commandos coming ashore? Or
yes, that's right, you? Yeah.
So this was in the dark?
I think it was moonlight, you know, yeah. It was a bit like.
How did you know they were our commandos, or you fear that they might?
What they had done, actually, when the Germans had taken all the Malmö airstrip, which was the main part, they were so desperate, things were getting so desperate then, that they sent these two, they sent a couple of destroyers with all these commandos on board. Their job was to go up the coast and come ashore and tried to retake the airdrome, you see, but the seas were so rough they couldn't land them. So eventually they came round and came into Suda Bay and dropped them off there. That's what had happened.
Yeah. What sort of chaps were those commandos?
They're all chaps from different units. Right. I mean, they were all volunteers then in those days, you see. That was before the Marines. There weren't any Marines commandos then, like. There was only special forces for the Marines at certain things.
So where did they go at Suda Bay?
They spread out, went up, like, you know, yeah.
So they went straight up.
Well, that's right, you know, and there again, they didn't know where the Germans were. Until they got fired on, that they knew who it was, like, you know.
Right.
And a lot got killed there.
So they came ashore in the night time.
Yeah.
When did they go into action? Straight away?
Well, straight away, yeah, straight
you
up,
could
yeah.
Hear all this, could you?
Well,
you
I
could
mean.
Hear this.
Well, yes, I mean, because we were hanging around, and of course it was in that time we were getting a lot of walking wounded coming down through, like, you know.
Coming back to Suda Bay.
That's right, and by that time we were up, when the commanders, went into action, they told us then that done our bit, we got to move back, because we thought we were going back. We had to fight a rear guard, rear guard, you hold one place and the others go back and hold that until you, and then you come back. And that was what was going to happen. Then we had this 3-tonner truck. So we had all these water wounded, and we started loading them on this truck. We thought, well, let's get them away quick. And it got to a point where there was it was loaded up, and there was no room for anybody, not even me. So I said to Bill Fewins, I said, well, look, you go on, because I thought I was only going back, you know, a mile or so, and, you know, you'd be in another line. And I said, Duke, you go on, there was another chap there that, you know, he had his shoulder busted up, and I took his rifle, and I carried the two rifles, and we went back.
You walked back?
We walked. But then, of course, when we started walking back, we realised we didn't. We, you know, we come to certain points, and there was all these the military police were at different points, you know, you go this way, go that way, and all that sort of thing. Of course, a lot of buildings all on fire and that sort of thing. And I never saw my mates anymore. No, I went. We fought right through to Spark here. We had
this is you and this chap with a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
Right. What was his name? Do you remember?
A foreman, a chap named Foreman. He was in the Greg Scotch Greys, the Scotch Greys regiment. Like that's right. Yeah.
You obviously took quite a liking to him, did you?
Well, I didn't know him or that. Yeah. No, I mean, it's, you know, especially then, I was getting mixed up with all kinds of people. I mean, like I say, the mates that I'd had on Crete, they'd all gone on, like, see, and I was open to meet up with them. Like, I thought, well, you get up too long, and they'd be there waiting. Yeah.
So, how far did you walk with him?
We walked. Well, apart from like, you know, doing the, we done our, you know, sort of helped out on rear.
So, how far did you walk with this chap then?
Right over to Spark here.
Right, how far is that?
50 miles.
You two walked 50 miles on your own.
Well, with a crowd. I mean, they were fanning like others, like it was coming from different directions. And they knew that they had to get to Spark here. That was on the safe side of the island.
So loads of people going the same way then.
Well, yeah.
What was the mood? Were you sort of feeling
well,
a bit dispirited?
The worst thing I think was that it was being done in the dark, and all these soldiers all marching in the dark. And if anybody tried to light up a cigarette, there'd be a hell of a dude. I mean, have somebody shooting at you, sort of thing like that. Because I mean, that was the worst thing you could do. Is I mean, you're giving yourself away, like, you know, like that. But anyway, that's where we had to go across this plateau, and that. And when we got across the plateau, I mean, you're going up the mountain and down the other side. You know, roads like this all the time, like, you know. And we had to get this. There was this ravine. We had there was no proper roads there, because I mean all the chaps that started off in with transport, they had to ditch them because there was no, the roads run out, sort of thing. And all you had was goat tracks and that sort of thing to go on. But the ravine it was all. And now when you go out there now, they've flattened it all out, and all the people that goes. I mean, it's lovely walks there if you've ever been there. But it was all climbing over these rocks and all that. And when you had another chap, two chaps with these rifles and all that sort of thing going through. And when we got nearly to the end of the ravine, that is where you had to stop there, because they had guards there waiting to say, you know, they let through, you know, the walking wounded and that sort of thing through. But all your order there is to go back and to reinforce the chaps coming up behind in case the Germans were to come there before we could get the troops away.
So up to that point, you hadn't met any Germans?
No,
hadn't been shot at on this march, yeah.
No.
How did you manage for food and water?
There was, like, going across this plateau, there was these wells which were hand-operated. They had these buckets sort of thing, you know, come up in there. And that's the only way you could get any water. But as for food, you had nothing at all.
How long did this march take?
Well, we were over a day, I think. Yeah, we left Suda Bay like of a night time, and we marched on. And then when we were going across the plateau, we had to do it morning and daylight. And they said, you know, these, all these stukas and all that coming around, you say, don't look up, I see the whites of your eyes, you see that. But you were told, the only thing you'd do, you had a chance that once the planes come over, you had to stand perfectly still, you know, so they probably wouldn't notice you so much, so, and get across there. And then, of course, it was dark when we got to the ravine, and that was the job, was getting down through there. But
were you getting a bit panicky or dispirited?
No.
You're
I mean,
with this quite well.
I did. I don't know why. I mean, even when I got taken prisoner, I never went to come out and put my hands up. I just walked out. I mean, please yourself, mate, what you're going to do with me now. I was in shock because I never even thought I would be taken prisoner. I mean, you couldn't keep being killed or wounded and that sort of thing. Yeah.
So your chap with the shoulder injury,
he went on. He went on.
You had to go back, did you?
We had to go back up the ravine. And then
the ravine,
yeah. And
still, I mean, were there hundreds or thousands of people?
Well, there was a lot coming through, a lot of wounded chaps. In fact, some of the wounded was down there, like stretcher bearers. They never got off at all. Some of them just left there. But I mean, the Navy could only come in at night time and do it because, they had no air support at all, and the Navy had to come in. And pick up the chaps, and they would be 2 or 3 hours in the dark, load up, and then get away. They had to get clear of the island before out of the reach of the aircraft, this sort of thing. And that just went on to it was the 1st of June, that they packed in.
So tell me, so you went back up the ravine, and then did you go forward again with the march, or?
No, we were there right to the this time was
the
they when we went up to supposed to be the to just reinforce the chaps that was up there to stop any Germans coming through.
Where? This is up on the ravine, is it? Or
in the ravine itself.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were that was the 31st of May. That was the last night of the evacuation. We weren't to know that.
Right.
And of course, in the morning, there was a beautiful sunny morning light. The night before, we'd nearly run out of ammunition, and we had been eating more or less for a week in a way, like sort of thing. We went down to the jetty to see whether there was anything down there.
This was at Tudor Bay, wasn't it?
No, it's a spark here. There was a jetty down there, and it was only a little village, fishing village, that was all. And we were told, one of the officers down there, he said, well, you come down there in the morning, he said, there'll be plenty of food down there, he said, plenty of ammunition, he said, you'll be all right. So, of course, we went, I never went down, but I was told that. And in the morning, beautiful morning there, the heat was terrible, and we heard this drone, and there was a flying boat come in the morning, and you see we could look down onto the beach, and we saw the officers go out and get on this plane, and it took off, and after that we were told, and the rumours come round, that we had to put the white flags up, and that was the last of it,
What did you think about the officers flying off like that?
Not very much, yeah.
But you all had something to say.
I mean, there was Freyberg, he handed the responsibility to General Western, he was a Marine, he was supposed to hand it over the island to the Germans, he wasn't going to take the responsibility, he handed over to a colonel, one of the commando officers, and he had to hand the island over in the end,
So you were at Sparkia?
We were at Sparkia there, and of course, then we had to march all the way back again.
Right, so the back Germans arrived in Sparkia?
Well, yes. I mean, they'd been reinforced with mountain troops, and they got across here, but they were lobbing mortars into us in this ravine, and it was only because there was a lot of there was such a lot of rock stuff there that protected you,
So when you were handed over to the Germans, what happened? I mean, you were in the ravine at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I mean I don't think he was a parachute. He could have been one of the from the mountain troops, but he came out to us and said in perfect English, he said, the war for you is over, like, you know.
And he was courteous, wasn't he?
Yeah. And he was quite good. I mean, the mountain troops were absolutely, you know, they're nice folks. I mean, they were real soldiers. I mean, these paratroopers, I mean, on that tape there, you tell they were they captured the 7th General Hospital. I mean, on that, I'll tell you about it. And they ordered the colonel there to get all the walking wounded out and on parade light.
Yeah,
and that's right. He refused that.
So, sticking to your story, so the German officer came up and told you that.
Well, that's it. So we said, we couldn't do nothing else go back.
Yeah. So what happened
we could.
Then? What happened? They told you to.
Well, we just marched back. Right. We marched back right through, and we went right back, and we finished at the 7th General Hospital. And you didn't more or less troop, you know, I didn't have many scratches on me, but there there was no food whatsoever. And what they had done, they built a compound with barbed wire for three sides and the fourth side for the sea. And it was in a bay with on each point. They'd put machine guns there, you know, that if you tried to swim out or not that way, you'd have that sort of thing. And we stayed in there. We had no shelter whatsoever. We used to just sleep under the olive groves. And then when they saw food, they didn't have enough food from themselves, like, you know, to get in the, there were so many other German troops over there that they hadn't sort of, you know, kept up with their rations.
Had all the patients been evacuated from the hospital when you were there in the compound?
We never saw any of them. No, I don't know what happened to them. Well, they probably I don't think the we could have taken them off at the time. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, someone else's story.
Yeah.
So you're in this compound. How long did you stay there for?
I was there for 7 weeks.
7 weeks in that compound.
Yes, and we were actually filthy. Well, the only thing, like being on the seaside, you could take your clothes off and wash them and all that sort of thing. Keep yourself clean, but I mean you're absolutely littered with the lice. That was the main thing, and then after, well.
And what sort of food did they give you in that?
Nothing. They didn't give us anything.
So what did you live on?
We only thought we asked permission whether they could take us out to find one of our own dumps, like you see. But the only thing we could find was some bags of rice. And we brought that back, and so I mean it wasn't going to last us very long. Cause, I mean many was in the compound, right?
Would
so,
it be hundreds? Would it all?
Oh well, I don't know. All of us were then with dysentery then at the time, like you know, they no food and the way we were being living, and so they decided then they would ration this rice out, you know, so. We all had, you know, our Dixies still, I think. We used to have a bit of a small cup full of rice, boiled rice, per day. That's all we had for 7 weeks.
And, did you get very thin?
Well, not quite thin. We had blackouts. You were so weak, blown away. You'd get up and walk, and then you'd just fall over. You'd pick yourself up. And that through weakness, but we went on then, and then of course we had orders. Then it was at the time. Then they said, "Right, you're up. You're moving you." And we had a march. Even now, when we've gone back now since and seen the distance from where we were to Suda Bay, where we had to get on a Greek coastal ship to be taken to Salonika. That we realised, you know, hey, we ever got down there, like, you know.
Yeah, it was a long way, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah. Yeah.
So, eventually, they marched you out and down to get on the ship. And do you have any idea where you could go?
No. No. No at all, I mean.
And how did they treat you? What was their attitude to you? Were they reasonably kind?
Well, we're right through until we got into... Well, into Germany, even when you're a prisoner, you They were winning the war, you see. So I mean, they didn't. Although there, I'd never heard about the Geneva. I didn't know there was a Geneva Convention, like, you know, and that. And it was, we were being prisoner about nearly 12 months before really, you know, what rules there was and all that.
So you went to Salonika.
But Salonika was a terrible place.
Tell me, you were taken off the ship.
Well, we marched out, then we moved into this old Greek barracks, and that, of course, had been made into a prison of war camp with all the barbed wire, with the towers and everything in. And there again, we didn't have any food. Well, what it was, I mean, the pigs were being, any pigs were being dead, like, you know, but we had to have it, because, I mean, we were real hungry. And then, of course, there was an attempt, I mean, you were looking at it, because we were not so very far from the Turkish border, and there was a chance out there if we can get out somewhere and break it, we could stand a chance to get out. But there was they did eventually find the sewers. There was a chance that they might get out through the sewers. Well, some chaps did do it, but then the Germans discovered what was going on, and they just got to where the chaps had got in. They pulled up the manhole, and they threw grenades down there, and where it right up the other end where they were out of the camp, and all the chaps that was in there were killed, like, you know, and that. But I've saw chaps throw themselves on the wire and be shot by the guards, or you know, they just couldn't take any more.
Yeah.
Well,
did you get depressed?
I was depressed. I mean, you just grew into it, sort of thing. Like, you know, it's a funny feeling. I mean, as things got worse and worse, so you had to adapt yourself to it. And then you sort of, then after that, we were there for about a fortnight, and then they went down to the railway yards, and they had all these railway trucks down there. Cattle trucks, and there was 40 of you, sometimes more in a truck. You couldn't lay down or nothing like that. You were in there for 10 days, I think it was, before we got into Germany. And
so you were standing up.
Well, no, what you could do, you would go down. You could sort of perhaps go kneel down, but then you couldn't lay down. You sort of leant against one another every time, like everybody talking each other's weight, like, you know. And then the thing was, it's the toilet facilities, like, you know. I mean, you had nothing here. You had a hole in the floor, like, you know, that sort of thing. And it was terrible.
Why did you not get depressed, do you think? What made life worth living?
Oh, you were young, weren't you?
Yeah. You thought it was past.
I mean, you never thought about what was going to happen tomorrow. Daren't think about it. You just had to get over. You got over that day, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And how did you pass the time? Did you talk?
The thing was, you always had a couple of Cockneys in there, or a couple of people that from Liverpool. They were the comedians. They always kind of. It was amazing, really. You know, that even right through the prisoner of war life, you had those people that could make you laugh, and that was amazing. Yeah. And then, I mean, I worked with a remember, there was a I worked with a lad from Newcastle, and their Newcastle, their what's the name, is so heavy, isn't it? I mean, their dialect, and I agreed with everything he said, because I didn't know what he was talking about. Yeah.
So on this journey take?
Oh, about 10 days, I think. I got in here somewhere.
Yeah. And where did you end up?
We ended at a place called Luckingwood.
Sorry, say again?
Luckingwood.
Luckingwood, can you spell that?
Yeah.
That's in Austria, is it?
Yeah, you see the dates in there? Luckingwood.
Oh. Your notebook, is it?
Well, you weren't supposed to have a diary or anything like that, but I used to, all the dates and that, I used to write them in a paper, and then I used to sew them into my clothes, like, so that if I even searched, I could find these bits, like, you know, for the dates and that.
So, were you searched often in Salonika then, or anywhere, or...?
Well, Salonika, well, no. I mean, the only fact I thought was funny, which turned out, right, they got us all on parade one day, and they wanted all the, they shouted at all the different religions, you know. If you're Church of England, you got out, you went in one group. They went right through, and then it came to the Jews. And that was the last one, and the Jews, well, you never know what happened to them.
Right, so yeah. You never knew at the time.
No.
But they picked them out from among the troops, did they?
Oh, where they went in the sea, into concentration camps, I think.
Right, but they picked them out from...
8 of us chaps, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Right, so long train journey, and you arrived at Luchtenwald. Yeah. And you were there for 5 days. Yeah. And then where to then?
Well, there, we were interpreter. Well, we had to be... We had